So the second reading is Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10, and it's on page 112 in the Red Bibles, which should be in your pews. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word that no matter how many times we read it or encounter it or interact with it, no matter how many times we hear it, somehow, some way, it gives a newness of power. It offers a newness of thought. It builds a newness within our spirit. So I am asking, we are asking collectively, that may happen today. Put me behind your word, for these aren't my words. Prayerfully, God, they are your words. So allow us to hear from you, so that we will forever be changed by what we hear today. In your name, amen. I said to Deb, this moment comes up so quickly. Like, I know it's coming, but it feels like it comes really fast, this moment of preaching. You know, I preached from this text a couple weeks ago at a church, Living Water. And when I preached from it, and then when I knew I was preaching here, I really liked the text that was in the liturgy for today. And the Holy Spirit said, "No, you're going to preach on the text that was given to you a couple of weeks ago." After arguing with the Holy Spirit and saying, "I want to do something different." I pray that this word helps someone here today. So the title of this sermon is Ninth Hour. If it had a subtitle, the subtitle is in the bulletin, but if it had a different subtitle, it would say, when your circumstances become a slave to your agenda. When your circumstances become a slave to your agenda. You know, last year I was in a fellowship within the UCC, United Church of Christ, called the Odese Fellowship. It's the first cohort. The second cohort is coming up this year. And it's for those that have an idea for a business that can create sustainable income, a social enterprise, while also changing the lives of people within the community that business is housed. When I first came across this opportunity, God blessed me with a couple of mentors that were gracious enough to speak with me. One started a social enterprise before there was such thing as the buzzword social enterprise, at about 1995. He's doing really well. And he said to me, "Megan, I want to tell you something. Your agenda from this point forward is to build and launch this business. It's for this business to happen." He said, "I don't care what circumstances may come across your life. I don't care what may happen in your life. Your agenda is to launch this business because this business is needed." He said, I don't want any circumstance to turn you around from thinking this agenda can happen. And that talk, that advice stays with me. On nights when I don't know, how can this take place? On days when doors close in my face, and moments when I feel like I don't have enough resources, I don't have enough gifts, I don't have enough talent to make this thing happen. This thing seems so much bigger than myself. And then I think about that talk when he said, your agenda is to make this business happen. You know, for many of us, we can't see beyond our circumstances. In fact, we base our agenda on our circumstances. Our agenda changes with how our circumstances are. You know, I'll just tell you this. It's not really a story. When I was in college, my agenda was always to study until I got a phone call for a party. And then my agenda would change based on my circumstances. I'm making light of it, but this is something that's really serious. Because the fact is that our circumstances are very much attached to the world. Our circumstances are very much attached to sometimes what's going on beyond our control. Our circumstances are very much sometimes attached to what's going on, what we can even fathom of the greatness that can happen in our lives. Our circumstances go on without us thinking about who God is. Our circumstances happen with us staring at another individual instead of us looking at God. Our circumstances happen. But what agenda are you trying to create beyond your circumstances? Right now in my personal Bible study, I'm reading Acts, which is why I'm preaching from Acts, because sometimes a sermon comes out of personal reading. But in Acts, the disciples are going about talking to people about Jesus and talking to people about Christianity. And their agenda is to go out and you preach the gospel. What amazes me is that I think it was about Acts 16 or something. At one point, they went out and their agenda is to preach the gospel. And the people immediately go, no, we don't want to hear it. You know, they go through many things. Sometimes they're whipped. Sometimes they go through violent situations. Sometimes they're just rejected. And I remember the last line said, but they left joyous in preaching the gospel. As a chaplain at a psychiatric hospital, there are moments where I go to a patient and I tell them, you know, God is here for you, and they reject me, and I leave licking my wounds thinking, maybe my calling was wrong. But it said they leave joyous still thinking about their agenda of preaching the gospel. I don't know how the circumstances didn't change their agenda, because I have to say, if I were them, I would probably take a step back and go, God, you told me to go out here and preach the gospel, but I'm being rejected. I don't think they want to hear from me, so I think I'm going to do something else now, because these circumstances don't seem to match this agenda. Because sometimes our circumstances become a slave. Our agenda becomes a slave to our circumstances. You know, it's interesting, this week, in the Cohen hearings, sound effects. In that first 30-minute opening statement, one of the things Michael Cohen said, I apologize to you, Congress, because when I was here last, I was here protecting Trump. And now I'm here telling the truth about Trump. In that moment, I thought, wow, how his agenda changed. And then I started thinking, could it be because circumstances have changed? And that's just an example of how sometimes if we allow our agenda to follow our circumstances, what are we then attached to? What are we attached to? You know, it takes courage to follow your agenda when your circumstances don't hold up what your agenda is. It takes courage to continue to love and continue to find love when you've been hurt, when you've been hurt or betrayed, or when people have turned their backs on you. It takes courage for your agenda to be in a loving relationship, or have love between family or love between friends when you've been betrayed. It takes courage to continue to do that, for that to be your agenda when your circumstances don't hold that up. It takes courage sometimes to go out and preach the gospel when your circumstances say that you aren't worthy to preach the gospel. It takes courage to hold that up, and that's just a shout out to UMC LGBTQ brothers and sisters. It takes courage for your agenda to have peace, for your agenda to be at peace when it seems like your circumstances all around you are full of confusion. Sometimes when your circumstances don't match your agenda, you think, maybe I should change it. You know what's interesting? In Acts 3, the reason why this is so powerful is because Acts 3 talks about the ninth hour. And the ninth hour is a very powerful hour during this culture. The ninth hour is 3 p.m. So every time you see 3 p.m. in biblical text, that's the ninth hour. And the ninth hour is when their prayer goes on. So prayer went on twice a day, in the morning and in the evening, the ninth hour, or later in the day, during these times. The ninth hour is when prayer happened. It's part of the agenda. Ninth hour, pray. You go pray at 3 p.m. What's powerful about the ninth hour is that every time you see 3 p.m., most times when you see 3 p.m. in biblical text, the agenda is about to change. God is about to change something in that agenda. For example, in Acts 10, there's a soldier named Cornelius. Cornelius walks about giving alms to people in the community, I say community, to people around him. And also praising God, giving prayers to God. Cornelius did this all the time. That was the agenda of Cornelius. And then all of a sudden, one afternoon at 3 p.m., an angel comes to him. He has a vision. An angel comes to him, and the angel says to him, listen, we see what you're doing, and it has been a great memorial to God, but now it's time for you to do something else. We want you to take men and go and find Simon. All of a sudden, at 3 p.m. this ninth hour, the agenda, the daily agenda of Cornelius has changed. And Cornelius is open enough to allow this agenda to change. Also, a famous, infamous 3 p.m. is when Jesus Christ is on the cross. Jesus Christ breathes his last breath at 3 p.m. on this ninth hour. And the agenda everyone around him sees is that Jesus has just breathed his last breath. Jesus has just died. Jesus has just become a victim. Jesus has just been humiliated. But on this ninth hour, what they don't understand at 3 p.m. is that God has interjected. God has interjected. And what we see as death is actually new life. What we see as humiliation is actually honor. What we see as Jesus being a victim is Jesus actually in victory. But what I want you all to see about this agenda that happens at the ninth hour is that in those moments, what we see as one thing, God is turning it into something else. I want you all to keep that in mind. On the ninth hour, what we see is one thing, God is turning it into something else. Let me give you an example. You know, sometimes I'll feel things that God is doing in my life. Have you ever felt that God is doing something in your life? And you go to someone and you say, listen, I feel like God is about to do this, and God is doing this, and God is shaping me to start this business or to do something different in my life. And you tell someone with excitement, and they go, no, I don't see it. No, I don't. I guess. I mean, if you're feeling it, that's nice. But, and then you walk away feeling like, well, maybe I didn't feel it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just have it all confused. That's sort of an example of a ninth hour that happens. When there's a relationship between you and God, and God is changing an agenda in your life, and nobody else sees it, nobody else may feel it, but you do. I'm almost done. So Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple. The temple is called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. At 3 o'clock, the ninth hour, Peter and John go, as their agenda is on this ninth hour, to pray. And they see a man at a gate, a man lame from birth, and people carried him daily to this gate. The interesting thing is that the agenda of this man was based on his circumstances. His circumstances was that he was lame since birth. His circumstances was that he didn't go into the temple because people carried him daily to the temple, which is interesting because in the temple is where prayer and healing and all of that happens, but you carry this man right to the edge of his healing. So everything that went on around this man, from the people that were with him to this man going about life, everything was dependent upon his circumstances. The agenda was based on his circumstances, not his faith. Even the people who carried him daily, their agenda for him was based on his circumstances and not their faith. But in this moment, when Peter and John walk in, they say the man saw them. But then Peter says to them, to the man, "Look at us," which means in this moment, the expectation that this man had was none. That his circumstances had robbed him so much of his expectation that he closed the door to God being able to do something miraculous in his life. That there are sometimes moments in our life where we close the door on certain moments and aspects of our life, expecting God not to do anything. We have no expectation for that part of our life because we're so used to the circumstances, that the agenda begins to follow the circumstances. So Peter says, "Look at us." And then when he looks at them with expectation. Because now he sees something else. And Peter says, "Listen, I can't give you silver and gold, but what I'm going to give you is hope. Everything that's going on nowadays, we've closed the door to hope. We've closed the door to the agenda of hope, to the agenda of God actually showing up continuously and doing something in our lives, individually and collectively. I mean, how can we not, right? With everything that's going on in this world. But I think what the Holy Spirit wants us to know is right now we are experiencing, in this time, in this year, the ninth hour. 2019, the ninth hour. And what the ninth hour is the ninth hour is telling you that you should have an expectation of God doing something miraculous. But that expectation is connected to the agenda that you think you know. And the agenda that God wants you to have. That some of us have closed the door on God being able to do something courageous and awesome in our lives. When I say courageous and awesome, I'm not just talking about finances or anything like that, because you say stuff like that, people think about money. But what I'm saying is courageous and awesome to raise up something great that can change this world. Right now is the ninth hour in our lives. And right now, God is asking us, are we going to partner with God to change the agenda of what's happening in this world? Are we going to keep allowing our circumstances to become a slave to the agenda that this world is trying to give us. Amen.